Instead of statues of gods, we find the development of statues of saints in the same sort of fashion. I mentioned icons in an earlier presentation, especially with regard to the Orthodox tradition. The use of these icons, these pictorial images of Jesus, of Mary, of the saints, both private and public, was a perfect artistic representation of belief in the incarnation and in the sanctification, indeed for the Orthodox, the divinization of humanity. As I pointed out earlier, they did not think of the production of icons as an artistic enterprise. It really was a spiritual exercise. And the representation was not meant to be appreciated aesthetically. It was meant to be a means of meditation and of contemplation of the mysteries of religion. But if one enters even today an Orthodox church, one sees that the icons form the dividing point between the place of the laity and the place of the clergy, the sanctuary, in what is called an iconostasis, that is, the standing wall of icons in which all of the various pictorial representations are arranged as a symbol of how that sanctification actually occurs in humans as they move in and out of that sacred space. Now, in medieval Europe, the term Christendom, as I mentioned earlier, expresses the complete integration of Christian religion and culture. Just as the Pope is supreme over the king on the political realm, at least in theory, so also in the world of learning, theology is regarded as the queen of the sciences. Already in the 11th century, Anselm of Canterbury had defined Christian theology as fides quaedens intellectus, faith-seeking understanding. And in the great medieval universities that sprang up in the 11th and 12th centuries in Bologna, in Oxford, and in Paris, scholastic theology achieved a remarkable rapprochement between the gospel and Christian theology shaped by Plato, but with a very powerful contribution made by Aristotle. Remember that Aristotle had been rediscovered and translated by Islamic scholars. And it was because of the Islamic philosophers, Averroes and Avicenna, that Aristotle became available to Jewish philosophers and theologians like Maimonides and to Christian theologians like Thomas Aquinas, and played a big role in the shaping of what is called scholastic theology, as in the monument of learning called the Summa Theologica by Thomas Aquinas. Here we find a combination of the spirit of transformation that is attributed to grace and the work of the Holy Spirit brought into close connection with the virtue ethics of Aristotle. And we find also the influence of Aristotelian metaphysics. There is such confidence in being able to talk about the world that Thomas Aquinas even offers the famous five rational proofs for the existence of God. Clearly, Aquinas did not think that one could simply make those proofs if one did not already believe in God, but nevertheless, there was a great confidence in the marriage between reason and religion. Christian theology was, above all, a reasonable approach to God.